Hello.
It's 2007. Do you remember this ad, Jacob Gans?
I do.
Ann Powers, this is the, hi.
Hello. Hey. Hello.
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 What is it, Bob?
Hello.
This is the ad for the iPhone, the very first iPhone. It's 2007, and that's what we're doing today. We're just talking about a couple of great moments because NPR Music started in 2007, and we thought we'd just take a look at every year and just see what it was like in a nutshell, a couple of little moments. And that iPhone, which came out just before NPR Music got started, seemed to be so important in the coming 10 years.
It's impossible to think about the next 10 years without that device. I mean, it changed basically everything about consuming music. I mean, we consume over the cloud now. You take pictures at concerts now. None of those things happened the same way that they do now, and they're so dependent on that device.
But let's be real, though. Who among us had an iPhone in 2007? I didn't. I had a BlackBerry.
That's right. I had a flip phone.
I had a flip phone.
Yeah. But I think it foreshadows so much, and a lot of the things we do talk about foreshadow our future, including Radiohead, who put out a record that year that really meant an awful lot in the way we think about buying and consuming and things and bands putting music out, right, Jacob?
It did, yeah. Radiohead, up until that point, was just a massive British rock band who had put out a bunch of records. They had challenged their own sound a bunch of times. They had been on EMI, a huge British label. And then in 2007, they announced a little while before this record, In Rainbows, came out, that they had broken with EMI. They were going on their own. They were going to sell a record directly to fans, that they weren't going to charge any money for it if people didn't want. It was going to be free. You could name your price. And they were going to deliver it directly to people on an appointed morning, October 10th, 2007, via email. And it was this very transformative moment. It was everybody put their eyes on Radiohead and whether they could pull this thing off. And I remember where I was when I downloaded it, really specifically because I was at work at NPR recording a piece about this process, which there's no chance that we have that audio here, Bob, do we?
Damn good chance. Here we go.
Of course
you ready?
Do. Yep, let's hear it.
Here we go.
It's 3:30 in the morning on Wednesday, October 10th. I'm not usually at work this early. Yesterday, Radiohead sent out messages to everyone in the world who had pre-ordered In Rainbows, saying that the download would be available sometime in the morning, UK time. That's all the information we got, so you've got to figure that there are many, many people poised over their computers right now waiting for this thing to drop. Anticipation for this record has been extremely high, and a week is a very long time in the world of the internet. There are any number of things that could go wrong with an experiment like this, but I'm betting that this will work. These are smart guys who have been interacting with fans over the internet for more than a decade. They've probably got a huge server farm humming somewhere ready to take care of all of these orders, these downloads. But still, there's no telling how many people will jam those servers. In the US alone, each of the last three Radiohead records sold over 200,000 copies in its first week. Based solely on the publicity that the band is working with here, you've got to figure at least that many people are going to be getting this thing today. And for me, that's the interesting part of this. The band has really created an event here. Remember, nobody has actually heard the music yet, but lots of people are actually paying for it. I gave the band £5 for my download. It seemed reasonable. Okay, it's here.
It was such a remarkable moment. There wasn't streaming services. There was piracy, and this was a way to contend with that.
Yeah, it was Radiohead reaching out and saying, here's the music directly from us. And do you remember where you were when you got this?
Oh, yeah. I actually did a similar piece to you when I was working at the LA Times, except it's in print. It's a timeline with such memorable moments as 7:20 a.m. Knowing that the download link for In Rainbows is probably sitting in my inbox, I rush my daughter through her toast and chocolate milk and get her into the car seat. I have to get to that inbox. Art trumps life today. Then I have something is happening. Appears to be a download. It was a freaking great record, and that's what really mattered.
Yeah, you're right. This record holds up totally, and they made a beautiful, memory out of getting it. You know, it's like that walking into the record store moment where you see something, you get it, and you buy it. They did that with a download.
They did that with a download. That's kind of incredible. I have to say, I don't know where those digital files are anymore. I memorialized the process of getting them on the radio, but I don't have any clue where my Radiohead In Rainbows files are. I listened to it on Spotify when I was preparing for this segment, which we know what Tom York thinks of that.
Who knows where my iPod is that I walked around the hills of Los Angeles listening to this album, having a magical moment, but it's probably in a plastic bag full of outmoded electronics somewhere in a closet.
There's probably a Radiohead song about that.
I'm a plastic bag. Sorry.
Wow. On that note, let's take a quick break.
Support for NPR Music's 10th anniversary and the following message come from Isotope, makers of Spire Studio, the portable multi-track recording system that lets you easily capture, mix, and edit professional quality songs wherever and whenever inspiration strikes. With built-in Wi-Fi, Spire Studio seamlessly connects to the Spire app, so you can ditch the cables to collaborate and share with bandmates and fans around town or around the world. Learn more at spire.live.
I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Ann Powers and Jacob Gans from NPR Music. We're talking about 2007. This is the first in a series of podcasts celebrating NPR Music's first 10 years. There's plenty more intriguing moments online, but let me play this.
One, two, three, four, tell me that you love me more. Sleepless, long nights, that's what my youth was for. Oh, teenage hopes.
You reminded me of your iPod walking around. The iPod Nano came out, and this song was the ad for that. And there was also other such great music, and M.I.A. stands out to you.
M.I.A. was huge for me. I just love what Maya Arul Pragasam brought to the world of pop music when she broke through as a rapper, as an artiste, particularly with her song Paper Planes, which was a major soundtrack in my life, one of my 4-year-old at the time daughter's favorite songs. Let's hear a little Paper Planes.
If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every stop I get to, I'm clocking again.
this song so totally holds up too. It's so good to hear this stuff that's so, 10 years old and still feels fresh.
Yeah, that was a very fresh moment for MIA too. I mean, she was like just so full of potential in that moment.
The first time I saw MIA was before that song came out. I was in Seattle and walked into this club, and she was actually just finishing up her set. And man, what was that explosion of color and excitement, the clothes she wore, her crew. It was something I hadn't seen in a hip-hop act before. And Paper Planes being based on a Clash sample from Straight to Hell,
which brought
me back, you know?
I'm going to play just a sec. Yeah, it brought you back to...
So because, you know, the Clash were the conduit for the teenaged me to become political, to get excited about activism, and, you know, to channel my teen rebellion into something constructive. And here comes MIA many years later, speaking to politics on a global stage and speaking for people who, you know, didn't have a voice in American or, you know, Euro-American pop music, people from developing nations. And it was really super inspiring to me, from the style to the sound to the politics.
Doing that and pulling in references from all over the place. I mean, it samples Straight to Hell from Combat Rock, the Clash song. The chorus is based on the Rex and Effect song, Rump Shaker.
I can't help it.
but hey,
there's a
guys.
Hot chocolate reference in the chorus as well. I mean, everyone's winner.
Hey,
the band or the drink?
The band.
Just check. It's clarity here.
If I can just get rock criticky for a moment here, the way that MIA turns the boom boom of Rump Shaker, which makes us laugh, into the boom boom of a gun going off, a gun that, in her words, represents the violence in refugee communities all over the world and brings attention to that crisis. It's just brilliant, you know? It's like she's turning our fun into consciousness, just as the Clash turned rebellion into money or whatever. It's just brilliant.
It stays fun, too.
Yeah, although they banned that gunshot from I think it was Letterman when that went on. And so controversial, pushing boundaries is the best thing that music can do, right?
It is.
Absolutely. And you know, 2007 was a great year for internationally inflected pop hits. You know, you had Umbrella by Rihanna. You had Akon all over the charts. You had Nelly Furtado doing music with Timbaland. I mean, I wish sometimes now... In fact, forget it. I don't wish it. It's happening. We've got it again with Despacito this year. I always am excited by those moments in pop when the world speaks, not just the U.S.,
There's so much other good stuff that comes out in 2007, too. It's a really remarkable year for music. I mean, Amy Winehouse's Back to Black comes out in 2007. Kanye West's
Sharon Jones. 100 Days, 100 Nights with the Dap Kings.
I love the Flight of the Conchords record. That was one of my very favorite records. I still love that record.
Miranda Lambert's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend comes out that year. Burial's Untrue comes out that year.
LCD Sound System, Sound of Silver. And PJ Harvey, White Chalk. Man, that tour where she wore the Victorian dress and played at the harpsichord or whatever it was, it blew me away.
You have Montreal record.
Oh, man. That Todd Haynes
that was
movie.
One of my favorites.
That Todd Haynes, Bob Dylan movie, I'm Not There, came out that year. That was a little bit hard to handle, but definitely a thing that I remember from that year.
And I remember Lil Wayne. I remember all the mixtapes, all his guest appearances. He was ruling hip-hop that year.
And funny thing is, as I'm looking and thinking about 2007, one of the most telling things was the simple title of mine and many other top 10 lists of the year, which is basically said top 10 CDs of 2007. Right.
What's a CD?
Yeah. Well, thanks all for doing this. We'll go on to 2008. So much good music to come, and we'll tell little memories.
Thanks for being there with us. Yeah.
10 years. And
thanks for everything.
Cheers all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.